Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Past players. Past legends. Past legends.
Well, you did make that point with interviewing you that you regretted not using Alan Stewart more.
I had Alan Stewart and John Reid, but say John Reid was in a slightly different role, and was very supportive. But I had, in hindsight, I mean, I had Alan Stewart just down the corridor, who had great experience, had a calmness about him, had wisdom about him, and once again, if I had my time again, I would utilize his skills and his services so much more. Because you get, as a head coach, there are times when you get so busy, your head's in the, like it's in the forest. You just sometimes you need people who are one out, one back, just being able to say, hey, just think this through. Are you really sure about that decision that you're making, or why are you doing that, or the way you did that press conference, or the way you spoke to that player, whatever. It's a throwaway line. Pete and Malcolm, but everyone needs a coach.
And I think Winnie helped Barmy a lot in that way as well. And the role to sort of, it's become Barmy's strength. He's fantastic. And more about just taking a bit of pressure off the coach at times and just deflecting things and to stop footy for the coach being 24/7 and literally 24/7 that, you let and things do escape, family relationships in that side of it do get away from you because it's so consuming.
Yeah, so consuming, and you'll think there are times when you think you're the only person that can do the job or a particular job, which is not true, and so it's, the role now of a senior coach, I've only ever seen it pretty much at either AFL level or international level, like the pressure and the responsibility and the accountability that goes with the job is huge, and you just need one or two people around you who can just give you that balance in your thinking and basically give you some feedback about what you're doing, because it's because of the position and the chair you sit in, it's very difficult to get good feedback. For someone to give feedback to the head coach. So you need someone whose role is to do that. And that's sort of been part of my role for Eddie Jones. That was part of my role with Stewie Jew. But the key thing for that to work, of course, is that the head coach, in the case of, say, Eddie Jones, for example, he wants that to happen. It's not something that you try and push on to the head coach, because if you do that, it's just a recipe for disaster.
And as you also said, it's, again, a fine line. You speak glowingly of Brendan Bolton. Now, without someone like you saying that, people around the traps have no idea. Craigie speaks.
Yep.
Neil's very open that Brendan Bolton's the best young coach to be involved with. Now, that's not known around the footy traps, I don't reckon, in general, because it's because you judge win-loss, he was hopeless. It's garbage.
So... I would appoint Brendan Bolton as a head coach tomorrow, without any hesitation whatsoever. And I'd have a good support around him.
Yeah.
Um, you know, but that's exactly what I've been talking about. Just as I'd have good support around a more experienced coach as well. But you know, once again, you seems like in Australia, Malcolm and Peter, is that once you lose a position of a senior coach in Australia, there's an attitude that there's something wrong with you, and you know that you can't do the job. Whereas overseas, it nearly borders on the fact overseas, particularly in Europe and America, that unless you've actually had two or three different jobs, you won't get a job. Like it's they
it's
want
the other way
people
around.
It's nearly the opposite. Is that they look for people who've had the experience of a degree of failure, of being in that environment, didn't work. What did you learn from it? So you need they look for people who've got you know, what I call leadership limp, or a bit of leadership or a senior coaching scar tissue, right? As distinct from someone that's got to be new all the time. So it's just it's a different attitude that we have in Australia towards it.
And Neil, one question I had for you when I did interview you for my book, and I found it developed into a 3/4 hour conversation between us, so we don't want to go that long on it, but where I found you were fascinating and probably well ahead of your time and all that is the mental health angle and what the AFL could be doing for coaches and just and the whole mental health side of things, because it's such a vital topic.
Yeah, well, it's huge. It's, I mean, I call it, I mean, probably the common term at the moment is, you know, the way they talk about well-being, you know. I tend to call it performance well-being, because, you know, and I look back on my days, some times at the Adelaide Footy Club where I was so tired, and thought the best thing was to work harder and spend more time at it.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, it was just a spiral. You know, there were probably times during my coaching times at Adelaide Footy, and I actually remember Stephen Trigg telling me one day to go home and saying to me that this is not the coach that we appointed, right? And I want the coach that we appointed. Now, you go home and you work out what support you need from us, because this can't continue. And, you know, it was, and that's what I call real care from your CEO, is that he recognized a change in my behavior. You know, and by the workload, the stress of the job, you know, the such a public sport, particularly in Adelaide, you know, with Port Adelaide and the Crows.
Yep.
So, and it can be all consuming, you know, and you've got, and if any of our players get into that sort of situation, immediately we jump to their, you know, to their aid, and make sure that they get some balance back in their life and get some better recovery or whatever the case may be. And yet, for some reason, we don't do that. We won't do that with the coaches.
Yeah.
We think it's a badge of honor as a coach.
Yeah.
To work more as, to continue to front up, no matter how tired you are, you know, whatever. And it's just such an unhealthy lifestyle to get into, and it's irresponsible for you as a head coach to go into that space. Yeah. So, you know, the well-being of your coach, you know, is a big responsibility of the management of your footy club, is to make sure that that's in a good place, and not to treat it as a badge of honor to be there at 6 a.m. and still there at 7 p.m. You know, and trying to do more than you should be doing. Not delegating is just crazy. It's just crazy. And it's irresponsible of the head coach. And it's irresponsible of clubs to allow that to happen.
I think we sort of saw that play out a little bit with Simpson this year from the West Coast, is that there were times where you could visibly see that he is just exhausted and really needed that break.
Yeah. So you can... you know, and if you watch a lot of footy, and if you watch a lot of the press conferences of head coaches, at, you know, after the game, and you're really observant, you can pick it in coaches.
Yeah.
You know, when they're not travelling that well,
And it's just cliche city. They want to get out of there, and it's you can see they're exhausted. And
last place they want to be.
Yeah.
And you know, and yet it shouldn't be like that, because you've been appointed to do the job and do it really well, you know, and you sit in an interview and you express yourself about this is the way I'm going to go about it. And so you're basically, you know, you're selling your vision and the way you're going to go about it. And so, and let's say a club says, okay, yeah, I like what I hear. That's exactly what we're after. And yet when you get in the job, you allow it to take you in a different direction. And so you can't do the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why it's irresponsible to allow yourself to get into that space.
That's well put, Craigie.
So you need to look after yourself. Just as you expect your players to do, and that's why that additional support, mentor slash whatever you want to call it, is why I say if I had my time again, that's why that position would be so important, because that would help you maintain a balance in your thinking and what you're doing.
And what are you doing now, currently now, Neil?
Well, my contract with the Wallabies is finished.
Yep.
But that was always going to be the case in terms of I've only ever been on contracts with the England when I was working with England with Eddie Jones and also with the Wallabies this year. So and of course Eddie's now finished with the Wallabies. Yeah. So I won't continue on with the Wallabies. I mean I was with the Wallabies only because Eddie wanted me there.
Yep.
So I'm not on staff or anything like that. So it's purely a contract consultancy job. So once again, you know, enormous experience. So now I'm basically trying to live what I just spoke about, is trying to recover, get myself back healthy again, you know, in terms of fatigue, fitness level, reintroduce myself back to my family, that type of thing.
Say hello to Chris again.
Yeah. So all that. And then, you know, I'm sure something will come up where it'll, you know, there'll be something that I want to do and feel like I can contribute, and hopefully, you know, and that can be in a range of other sports or probably the only thing I do like operating at the high performance end of sport. I mean, there are all the other levels of sport are really, really important, but my passion's at the upper end of sport. And so I like working, you know, in the AFL, I like working at, you know, in NRL, I like working at sort of, you know, with in the last period of time, rugby at international level, you know, the national level and international level. So that's sort of where my passion is. So we'll see what happens.
Do you get an opportunity to sit back every now and then and just watch a game and not overanalyze it?
You sort of do. I mean, trouble is, when you've been involved in it, Pete, for a long period of time.
Yeah, that's why I ask.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that if you watch it as a spectator, you'll see the game differently as distinct if you watch it as a coach. So there are times when, you know, mainly on TV, I make a conscious effort. I say, I'm still going to sit here and watch this as a spectator, right? But then my mind drifts about, I wonder why that's happening. What would you do? Like a quarter time, what would you be saying to these guys? You've just seen the game unfold, even though it's on television. You know, so you go into coach mode pretty quickly. So, but anyway, that's enjoyable for me to do that.
Part of the nature, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's part of the nature of the beast. So that's okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll finish in our normal way, but I will just I'll entertain you here a bit, Pete. Let's go a few of Craigie's famous one-liners. It's better have an emptied house than a bad tenant. After throwing up when training hard, I love this one. The calipers don't lie. Regards to how hard you train, how disciplined you have trained with your diet.
Yeah.
And a fat blowfly is a slow blowfly. In other words, get fit, you dickhead.
Associated with the calipers doesn't lie.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Always known for his one liners, Craigie.
Yeah.
Now,
so once again, it's interesting if you talk to guys that played in the era under Dennis Pagan, you know, North Melbourne in particular. They all they talk about is some of the Pagan's one-liners, you know.
Yeah.
So, Sometimes what you find as a head coach, senior coach, you've got to be a bit of a storyteller, so to get your message across.
No, that's true, because I'm being honest, I've got your article open in front. That is the comment which has come back from Rue, especially to some extent from Nathan Bassett as well. Interestingly enough, the West Coast thing was probably Bass's best offer as well. So you've got that in common with him to have a chat about one day. Yeah. And that. So, yeah, on that side of things. Now, let's go back and see if you give the same answers here, Craigie. Best players you played with?
With?
Yeah.
Oh, Rick Davies. Yeah. Best I played with.
Yes, you always said that.
Yeah. No, Rick was a sensational player, particularly for his size and the position he played. But he could just take control of the game and have it eating out of his hand. And probably the best, probably the reason I really say that is because it was close to his last 1 or 2 years at Sturt. He was playing full forward.
Yeah, he kicked 153 goals. Yeah, 153. Yep.
Like and a lot ridiculous. Of those games, Malcolm, were on one leg.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he could just do stuff either in the ruck. Then you got a ruckman who absolutely dominated the game in SANFL. Okay, and if he'd gone to Victoria, he would have done something similar. And he did go to Victoria, but he went too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of total domination, he was still able to hold up. But to see what he would to do as a ruckman in our competition, and then to go to full forward and kick 153 goals, like that's just unbelievable. Like,
and these days at his height, he's playing midfield too. He's not rucking well and truly. He's shorter than Cripps.
Yeah. I've been lucky enough to play with some really, really outstanding players, but he's the one that, you know, when you ask that question, he's the one that comes to my mind for really quickly. So
give us some others. Give us a few others as well. I want to see on your answers here, Craigie.
A few others that I've played with?
Yep.
Oh, well, I mean, he had Phil Carman.
Yes.
He had Paul Bagshaw at Sturt. Like just unbelievable what Paul Bagshaw could do. You know, I remember playing in an era against one stage. There was Tony Antrobus, Mark Naley,
yeah,
John Platten,
Tony McGuinness,
and who else was there? There was someone else, another little rover. Like it was nightmare stuff playing against those guys. You know, and they were just unbelievable players. Tony McGuinness, right? Just a roving contingent you play against week after week. I mean, Norwood, you had guys like Phil Carman, you had Phil Gallagher. I mean, Winnie in his own way, you know. Greg Turbell was like, Greg Turbell's career was going through the roof until he had that really bad knee injury, and he's still able to come back and play some really quality football. But you know what Greg Turbell could have been.
Yes.
You know? And we saw glimpses of that. You know, Michael Aish, and then I only mentioned Gary McIntosh. It just goes on and on.
Yeah.
So, once again, how lucky was I to play, to be able to be either coach or to be able to play.
All right, let's see if you give the same answer here, Craig.
Well, can I just jump before you ask this question? What about your state of origin in 86? Was there somebody that you really sort of didn't like playing against, not that they weren't a good guy or anything, but you just hated playing against them, but you got to play with them and really thoroughly enjoyed that. Was there anyone from that team that jumps out at you a little bit? I mean, you know, Kernahan, McDermott, McGuinness.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stephen Kernahan was a sensational player. And to be honest with you, Peter, I mean, I was a very territorial type person. I didn't like opposition players at all, like, you know, and I'm still a bit like that, particularly on game day. I mean, I'm happy to associate with them afterwards, but not, not
white line, white line fever. Yep.
Well, it's not so much. I just think that they were there to compete against them anyway.
Yep.
Once again, you know, that's where you sort of really see up close guys like Johnny Platten, for example, and Stephen Kernahan. Neville Roberts at that stage, you know, was playing State of Origin. You know, then you play against, you know, then you play against the Victorian side. I remember standing Neil Danaher at one stage. I was half forward flank and he was half back flank. Like, you know, then those end of season games, like Barry Cable, Brent Croswell, Ross Glendinning in North Melbourne, Malcolm Blight, Keith Gregg, like, it's just unbelievable, like, the quality of player that you get exposed to. So, I mean, I haven't answered your question, but, you know.
No. Hardest opponent. Let's see if you give the same answer here, because this was one for left field. I wasn't expecting when I...
Yeah, I know. I mean, the guy that played South Adelaide.
Yes, Michael Bennett. Bennett.
Michael Bennett. Yeah. No, he's a toughest player I've played against.
Incredible.
Whenever we played South, that was the guy that was, it was more positional back in those days. Like, you weren't all over the ground. So I found him a really tough player to play against.
Any others that spring to mind? Obviously, that got under your skin a little bit.
Not only my skin. I remember, you know, a really difficult opponent and a lovely man. And unfortunately, not with us anymore. But Russell Ebert.
Yeah.
I remember I was coming through. And I had to stand Russell a couple of times as the centerman back in those days. And like, he was an athletic guy. He was strong. He was highly skilled. So you remember all that. But the biggest thing I remember about Russell Ebert is that for some reason, every time I would play against Port Adelaide, down at Port Adelaide, he made an effort take me up into their change rooms and be part of their social bit at the end. And there was no reason why he had to do that, but he did, you know. And so isn't it amazing that he was such an unbelievable player, probably one of the, if not the best in the SANFL, you know, even by McGarry medals. But and yet my memory of Russell is the way he made me feel.
I actually totally get that. I got a call and asked to organise someone from Nord for a charity night for a sick youngster, and I organised Aishi and went along, and Russell was one of the speakers, and Russell came up to me and went, right, here's my number, Malcolm. Anytime you need anything charity-wise, you ring me.
Yeah.
Four times I rang him, four times he delivered. I didn't know him that night. Yeah. He just came bang straight up to me, right, this is what you're doing, and, bugger how good he was at football. That's where he was incredible.
Yeah. So I have a special memory for Russell. As I said, only because of the way he made me feel.
Yep.
And, you know, he made me feel valued. He made me feel special. He took me into his environment, you know, and that was back when I was playing at Norwood. Like, that's a Norwood Port. Like, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
And yet he had the capacity to do that. So it was, sensational.
We'll get you out of here on this one, unless Malcolm's got any...
Now, Chris's support over the journey, just quickly, yeah, Craigie.
Good call.
Oh, well, the family support is huge.
And your kids, yep.
Yeah, the whole thing, that's the whole family aspect of it is really, really important, particularly when you... I mean, there's a playing side of things, and then, of course, the extension is when you go into coaching. And the coaching one is much more difficult from a family perspective, because of the responsibility of the job that you've got. And so I've been really lucky in that space, Malcolm and Peter, because there's been support there without being totally absorbed by the sport. So if you know what I mean, like, they've been there, they've been supportive, but it hasn't been their life, and it's been really healthy for me, because it's a tendency to make it your life, But I mean, don't get me wrong. They've been interested. They would go to the sport. They would to be there supportive. But they had other things in their lives as well. So there was a really good balance there for me to come home to a household where it wasn't all footy again. You know.
Yep.
It was. There's a whole range of other stuff going on. So. And I've also seen the opposite of that, where the family unit's been totally involved in it, and sometimes you know it's been really good, but there's also been that can be a bit of a disaster as well, yeah. Because it just becomes
too much,
particularly when things are tough. It becomes really difficult. You can't do it unless you've got the support.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this one, mate. Favorite players you like, just keeping an eye on these days. Is there a few floating around in the AFL that you just keep your eye on every now and then?
I've got great fond memories of, and they're not obviously playing anymore, but you sort of follow them because you know when I coached the Adelaide Footy Club, how lucky was I to be able to have access to Rusciuto, Goodwin, Edwards, McLeod, Ben Hart. It goes on and on. So, obviously when I finished and later you follow those through and some finished anyway. But then it's sort of, my time at Gold Coast, I really enjoyed my time at Gold Coast because there was some really like exceptional young talent coming through there, you know, and guys like, for example,
there is Matty this year Rowell, as well, yeah,
Matty Rowell and say Noah Anderson, for example,
yep,
two quality young men, like absolute quality.
You wait till you see Walter this year too, Craigie.
Yeah. Okay. Oof, yeah. Well, I'm talking about these guys in their character,
yep.
Okay, and in their capacity to lead and whatever, as well as their playing ability. And so, you know, when you've sort of been exposed to those that sort of person for a little period, you do sit back whilst you're not directly involved anymore, like you do have an interest just to see how they're going, and just keep an eye on what's going on. And it's the same. It's the same with some of the rugby guys, you know, of England that I've spent sort of 6 or 7 years with, in just the latest World Cup that's happened. You know, they were playing off the third position, and so there were some, you know, there's three or four guys that you get quite close to.
Yeah.
That you're watching them from afar, you know, on the other side of the world. So, you're right, Pete. I mean, don't watch them all, but there are certain ones, and for a range of different reasons, why you have that connection. And you watch them, and so you should enjoy.
Absolutely, that's why I put the question to you that now that you've stepped away from some of those roles, that you do keep a bit of an eye on a couple of them as you go along, and obviously wish them the absolute best, and they'll cross your path again at some stage.
I sent a text the other day, and I'm happy to share this. I sent a text the other day to a guy called Ben Youngs. Now, Ben Youngs has played has got more caps than anyone else in the history of England rugby, I think. It's about 127 caps or something like that. You know, that's a huge feat.
Yeah.
So in the history of the game over there, and he played his last game in the game just gone by from England, and so I mean I've spent a lot of time with Ben and I had a lot of fun with him. He's got a great personality and whatever. So immediately when you find out that's his last game, like you can't wait to get onto the WhatsApp and just send him a text, you know, congratulate him on his career and what he's done and whatever, because you have that connection. With him.
Yep.
Yeah, and so that's all part of the joy of which you get out of sport, you know.
Absolutely. Hey, Craigie, greatly appreciated your time. Always love chatting to you. Always listen and learn. Fascinating as always. Greatly appreciated, Neil Passmore, Craig.
Good on you. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Pete, and thanks, Malcolm.
Thank you, Neil. And
it's been a good opportunity to have a chat, eh?
Absolutely.
Hopefully you don't have to edit too much out of it, Mike.
No, I don't think I will, that's for sure. We've actually covered pretty much everything that we wanted to cover tonight, and absolutely loved it. So thank you once again for your time.
Thanks, Craigie.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Craigie. See you, boys. Bye. Thanks. Bye.